This is Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat from Vermont. He's been in office since 2023, and he was a regular guest when he was a member of the House of Representatives, and he's kept coming back. So thank you very much, Senator Welch.
Thank you.
Last time we were talking about the damage to the agricultural industry in Vermont from the July floods, and this is all happening while the next farm bill is being put together. How do the two intersect at all, and what do you want to see in the next farm bill?
Well, they don't. They're very separate. What I want to see in the next farm bill, first of all, we got to pass it. You know, we do a farm bill every 5 years. In Vermont, of course, it's very important that we maintain our dairy programs. Dairy is always under an enormous amount of pressure. In our small farms, we're having a very difficult time hanging on, and we've got programs that are helpful in that effort for them to be able to keep farming. We want to have conservation programs in there that have been very beneficial to farmers, but also to addressing climate issues. We want to have a big title on nutrition to make sure not only that folks who need nutrition assistance get it, and farmers are very proud that they feed America, but also nutrition, our food is good health care. You know, the more fruits and vegetables we eat, the better off we are. We want to see farmers really be able to assist us in reducing carbon emissions. And that is by helping them with farming practices and making certain that they get some compensation for doing things that sequester carbon. So these are some of the things that we're working on, and I'm very hopeful that we'll be successful. There is a lot of bipartisanship in the Appropriations Committee. If all of us really are supportive of the agriculture that's in the regions where we live, you know, there's always a debate about the best farm practices, but it tends to be a bipartisan approach to trying to keep America fed and our agricultural economy strong.
Now, if I understand this correctly, the farm bill is on a separate schedule from the other bills that we were talking about last time that are part of the debate over a possible government shutdown at the end of September. How confident are you that this farm bill will be passed on time?
Well, September 30 is when it expires, and my expectation is that it won't get passed by then. That's not all that unusual. So we'd need an extension while the negotiations between the House and the Senate continue. Normally I would be very confident we'd get a farm bill done because it's very bipartisan, and that's true in the House and in the Senate. And speaking to my House colleagues, including Republicans who I work with last year, they really want to get a farm bill done. The danger that the farm bill faces is the danger that every other program in government faces. Will we have a shutdown? Will we have a core group in the House with that razor-thin majority that Speaker McCarthy is dealing with that just say no? No to a farm bill, no to a defense bill. They can't even pass our defense bill over there right now. And that is a threat to the well-being of America.
Let's move on to another area now. I want to talk to you about a big change that's coming for people who take prescription drugs, which is just about everybody. And that is now a number of drugs will be able to be negotiated price-wise under Medicare. How did we get to this point? I know it's something you've been talking about for a long time.
Well, this has been a long, long, long battle. Americans pay the highest cost for prescription drugs of any place in the world, and it's pretty shocking. You know, I know a lot of Vermonters living close to the Canadian border. They might have to pay $300 or $400 for medication in Vermont. If they go across the border, it might be $30 or $40. It really can be that big a difference. On cancer drugs, it's in the thousands of dollars. Now, why is that? It's because the United States of America is the only country where government doesn't negotiate fair prices and protect consumers against essentially the brutal pricing power that a big pharma has. So this legislation that I sponsored, and I've been working on it for the entire time I was in the House, allows us to begin negotiating prices and getting fairness for our consumers. And it'll save about $300 billion. That's for individuals. That's for employers who are suffering under the weight of really high premiums, where the cost of prescription drugs is a big factor in that, and the taxpayers. So this is long overdue, and my hope is it's just the first step, not the last one.
What will be the next step? Because as I mentioned, it's only 10 different drugs to begin with, right?
Yes, but they can add drugs to that each year. So the implementation starts with 10. It also is only Medicare right now. But I think that the impact of Medicare, since it's the biggest consumer and purchaser of prescription drugs, will have a spillover benefit in the private insurance market and in the employer-sponsored insurance market. But the big principle that we finally were able to establish is that the government can protect consumers against price gouging. You know, the pharmaceutical industry basically rips off Americans because it prices things so high here that then sells things much more cheaply in England, in France, in Canada. So it's just been an unfair model where, because government won't stick up for consumers and the pharmaceutical industry has the capacity to charge whatever they can get away with or whatever they want, that it's been hammering our consumers. So it's really, really important that we have fair prices in prescription drugs. And by the way, that was an area when Trump was president, he and I worked together on it.
That's true. He agreed with us
on that.
I remember it well, and you were always taking pains to point to that amid all the other stuff that you disagreed with the president over on this program. Just one more thing on this. I assume the pharmaceutical industry is not in love with this change. How possible will it be to expand beyond where it's starting now?
Well, I think in the law we have the right to expand it. But the pharmaceutical industry is fighting fiercely. In fact, they're going to court. They're trying to claim what we did is unconstitutional. And they're fighting this every single step of the way. You know, they claim that this will affect innovation. I don't buy it. And I'll tell you why I don't buy it. The pharmaceutical industry enjoys something that few other industries have. Number one, when they have an invention with a patent, they get the exclusive right for many, many years to sell that product. Nobody else can, and they can charge whatever they want. So that patent gives them the benefit of enormous pricing power, but for a limited period of time. Second, they have a market that's created by Medicare and Medicaid. You've got, you know, we want our citizens to have access to health care. So they have a guaranteed purchaser, and then they had, up until this date, a requirement that that the government couldn't negotiate prices. So they've done very well. You know, the average CEO salary in many of these major drug companies is $36 million a year. You know, they're doing okay.
We've been speaking with Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat from Vermont. He's been in office since earlier this year after serving in the House, starting way back in 2007. Senator Welch, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us. And when we come back the next time, I've got a lot more for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian.